Hello, and welcome to There's Hope with Homeopathy. This monthly show airs the third Friday of each month and focuses on classical homeopathic treatment, how it can benefit your entire family, and especially how it can be a curative therapy in the treatment of autism. My name is Amy Lansky, and I'm broadcasting today from Portola Valley, California, in the San Francisco Bay Area. And today's show is going to air on January 18th, 2008. Well, everybody, this is the beginning of my fourth year doing the Autism One shows. And I got to say that perhaps this is going to be my final year of shows. So that will make 4 years of shows, and hopefully the Autism One folks will keep rerunning them as well. So first of all, Happy New Year. I can't believe it's 2008 already. That's just amazing. Time flies. And before I go into current events and just into the show in general, I thought I'd start with what I usually stick into my show, of course, which is a plug for my book. And this show is based on my book, which is called Impossible Cure, The Promise of Homeopathy. So pretty much anything you've learned on this show is contained in this book, and I encourage all of you to buy and read it, since really many homeopaths actually require their patients to read it. So you can find out all about the book at the website impossiblecure.com. There I especially urge you to check out the page about autism, which includes pointers to referral lists to practitioners. Also, especially the annotated archives of this show. If you're on the home page on the right side, there's a link to the archives of all the shows and with a little description what's in each show. There's also on the website the Cure Stories database to give you a little inspiration, and I encourage all of you to add your own story of healing from homeopathy. Instructions how to do bulk orders, and if you run a bookstore, there's also a bigger discount for retailers, so you can contact me about that. And you can always feel free, any of you, to send me an email. I usually respond to everybody who emails me within about a week. I don't talk to parents on the phone, but I do correspond with parents through email. So send me an email at lansky@impossiblecure.com or alansky@autismone.org. I do not treat autistic children myself. I'm not even practicing anymore, actually. I usually begin by telling people to check out the website, and I try to give them a referral to a homeopath and answer questions and concerns you might have about homeopathy. Before I move on to today's show, just a little preview. Next month's show, I'm going to be doing an interview of one of our more famous American homeopaths, Miranda Castro, who has a practice in Florida. And some of you may be familiar with Miranda's book, The Complete Homeopathy Handbook, which I heartily endorse as sort of one of the best how-to books out there for self-treatment in the home. And she has a series of other books as well about your baby in the first year and other kinds of self-help books. So Miranda is going to be on the show next month, and I know that she has successfully treated some autistic children as well. One other piece of interesting news is that many of you were familiar with the Yahoo group Homeopathy SNC, Homeopathy for Special Needs Children, and that was closed down as an open forum, unfortunately, last year. But one of the parents on that list has decided to open up a new Yahoo group, a new open Yahoo group for parents and practitioners. So I encourage all of you to join it. So far, This woman and me are the only ones who are on it, so I recommend any of you who are interested joining, just go to yahoogroups.com, and the name of this Yahoo group is Homeopathy and SN. So it's homeopathy-and-SN, where SN stands for special needs. So check it out. Okay, and also finally, also a plug for all of you to join the National Center for Homeopathy, really the mothership of homeopathy in this country. Without it, really, most of the homeopathic organizations couldn't hold themselves up. Our conference, the national conference, joint conference for all the practitioners and consumers and everything, is going to be held in April in Rhode Island. So go to the National Center's website to find out more, nationalcenterforhomeopathy.org. Okay, let's move on to today's show. You got me solo again today. And as I promised last month, today's focus is going to be what I call the homeopathic way of thinking. In a way, it's a recap of homeopathic philosophy. I didn't do any current events, but okay, I'm just going to move on. Homeopathic philosophy. And you know, I did a show on homeopathic philosophy way back, almost 3 years ago. It was my third show. I think it was March of 2005. And let me just tell you, you can never have enough homeopathic philosophy. Most homeopaths spend a whole year studying this subject, so one show is just a very small amount. And it's especially important for us patients to understand this homeopathic way of thinking, because really, everything about the way the health world functions in the conventional health world, and essentially the way all of us were brought up, is really completely opposite from this homeopathic way of thinking. So it's just trivial for all of us to fall into the old conventional ways of thinking about our health. And I've got to confess, this is true even for me, Amy Lansky, the writer of Impossible Cure. I'm just going to tell you a little story about myself that just happened this past fall to confess my own ability to fall prey to this. So, you know, all of us, when we are confronted with a pain or an ache or any kind of troublesome symptom, we just want it to go away. And so we talk to people and we search around on the web or we listen to ads on TV and we go, oh, I'll just take this pill or do this thing and it'll go away. Oh, what a relief, you know. But we're not really thinking about what we're doing and what the consequences are of what we're doing. Sometimes, and maybe usually, this can be benign, but in the long run, possibly, or even in the short run, it can lead to problems, just depending. So let me give you my example. You know, I've gone through menopause over the past couple of years. I'm 52. Ooh, I can't believe I'm 52. Anyway, and One symptom that is not uncommon for menopausal women is to have some breast pain, which is really worrying because, you know, people worry about breast cancer, this and that. But it turns out that breast pain is not unusual for women in their 50s. I was surfing around on the web, and I read about using evening primrose oil, rubbing evening primrose oil on the breast for the breast pain. So I did not investigate this thoroughly enough, what is in evening primrose oil. I fell prey to what many of us think, oh, it's like a natural substance, it's not hormones, I thought. So I'll just put this on and see what happens. Well, it worked. I mean, very quickly, this breast pain went away, and I was putting it on for about 2 months, maybe 6 weeks, 6 weeks to 2 months. And at that point, I got a thermogram, which is sort of an alternate method of it's an alternative to mammograms that's just based on an image, not radiation. I'm not encouraging all of you to do this, but I personally do this because it's non-invasive. Anyway, the thermogram did show its sensitivity, and it showed abnormal levels of estrogen in that breast, the breast that I'd been putting evening primrose oil in. So the reading was abnormal, and I really freaked out. And then, you know, here I am. I'm a very observant person as a past homeopath about my own health, about my family's health. And, you know, it was this thing that made me realize, oh, my God, over the past six weeks, 2 months, all these other things have been going on that I hadn't really put together. In particular, a lot of my symptoms of menopause were reversing. So I had noticed that hot flashes were coming back, dizziness, which was one of my perimenopausal symptoms, was returning. I had started gaining weight again, which, you know, I had, over the past couple of years, I'd lost something like 20, 25 pounds through Weight Watchers, which, by the way, I hardly endorse. And suddenly I was putting on some pounds again. I noticed that particular breast was larger. And other signs of menopause reversing too. My libido had increased. I just hadn't put two and two together, you know. And then I actually talked to a homeopath friend of mine, and she said, evening primrose oil is estrogen. It's estrogenic. And I went, oh my God, I've been dumping estrogen into my body through this oil, and I'm essentially put myself on hormone replacement therapy. And I was reversing my menopause. And no wonder this thermogram was picking this up. So I stopped. I stopped taking this oil. I talked to my own homeopath, and she had me take another dose of my constitutional remedy. That stopped the hot flashes and the dizziness. And slowly, over the past month now, since I stopped, things seem to be returning to normal. And in particular, one shocker was that about a week after I stopped, I had a period, a very light period, and I hadn't had one in over a year and a half. So my body had been building up, my uterus had been building up blood again, and because of this estrogen. So it came out, it wasn't a heavy period, it was very light, and I just feel that my body and all these symptoms are reversing. I'm getting back to normal. Even the texture of that breast has gone back to normal and everything. So I also learned, and also that those pains in my breast returned after I stopped it. And then I learned, it was suggested to me to learn this type of massage called lymphatic massage. In fact, after I stopped the evening primrose oil, I had real pain in that breast because it was like everything was draining out of it. And I was doing this massage, and now pretty much all these pains have left too. So I really encourage you to find, if you have any breast pain, to try this lymphatic massage. I actually just found it on the web with maybe it was on YouTube somewhere, with a little video of how to do it. And that's my story. So my story, what's the moral of this story, which is that even natural products can be allopathic, can operate like conventional medicine. Even an oil like this can be just like popping, you know, hormone replacement therapy. And the point is that menopause is not an illness. It's not an estrogen deficiency disease. It's a natural process of our bodies. And that's what our bodies are supposed to do. And messing around with it is not always the wisest thing. As people have found, as the studies have found, that women who take hormone replacement therapy are much greater risk of cancer. And so the moral of that story is that, you know, everything is connected. Just because I put this oil on my breast and the pain went away, well, look what else I did to my whole body. If you suppress a single symptom in your body, it can lead to problems elsewhere. And that really is one of the root messages of homeopathic philosophy. And even I, too, Amy Lansky, have to remember the lessons of homeopathic philosophy. Now, this is a really big issue in the autism community. Why? Because our children, our autistic children, are affected in a myriad ways, each child with their own symptoms all over the place. many different problem areas, problems in the gut, behavior problems, sensitivities, etc. And these symptoms are really troublesome and really irksome. And so as parents, we're just desperate to get rid of them and provide relief for our children. But unfortunately, most approaches, even alternative approaches to autism, are at heart what I would call allopathic or take this for that kind of approaches. You have this symptom, take that to get rid of it. You have that symptom, take this to get rid of it. Or and those things that may be taken may be supplements. We have testing. Oh, we have this deficiency, take that. Do this, do that. And so ultimately, treatment is like a patchwork quilt of all these little approaches. In a way, you're just chasing symptoms all over the place. And so we're just doing a million things to help these kids. Now, this isn't necessarily bad, and this isn't always necessarily dangerous. And sometimes this is really necessary because we have to live. We have to get through our day-to-day lives. Sometimes it's just okay because you have to survive. Sometimes it's necessary. But it's also important to recognize if you're going to try to get behind the homeopathic approach that it is this is also fundamentally different than the way homeopathy views health, disease, and the way the homeopathic approach to health and disease, the way it views the body. And that with correct and successful homeopathic treatment, you can achieve dramatically different and better results because the whole body will be functioning better and differently instead of just dealing with all these little symptoms piecemeal. In particular, if you're lucky and your homeopath finds a remedy that matches you or your child as a person overall, that single remedy, this is the remedy that is called the similimum. It's homeopathic to you. It matches you. And if it's the correct remedy in the correct dose, in the correct dosing scheme, it should enable your body, your vital force, the energy body, your whole energy system, to heal itself. So what will happen is that your body overall will start correcting itself. And when I talk about all these more allopathic schemes and all these other things that people do to get rid of their symptoms, I want to also point out that even homeopathic remedies, the potentized remedies, can be used in an allopathic way. Some homeopaths will disagree with that, but they can be used incorrectly, just attacking this symptom and that symptom. And always the best approach is the one to try to find the remedy that matches you overall, because it will enable your whole body to heal itself and right itself. I'm going to go back to what I was going to say, actually, for the introduction to today's show, just a little current events about all the colds going around, and just as an illustration of this. I was doing some traveling over Christmas with my family, and all my relatives were sick and stuff. Just before we left on the trip, I got sick for a couple days, too, but I didn't get very sick. I just sort of decided, okay, I didn't try to get rid of this symptom or that symptom. I was homeopathic about it. I took a dose of my constitutional remedy, the remedy that's my usual remedy. That plus, and I, by the way, immediately noticed I felt better, slightly better after that. I stayed in bed for an entire day. I took lots of vitamin C. I drank lots of liquids. Another trick that I use, and I've mentioned this before, is putting some hydrogen peroxide drops in the ears. And within 2 days, I was completely fine. So, but the main thing is that by taking my constitutional remedy and really allowing my body to heal itself and give it a little support with the vitamin C, my body was able to heal itself. When that's not enough, then the genus epidemicus remedy, the remedy that matches whatever the virus or flu or whatever is going around, may be used. So don't want to go into that but right now, but just as an illustration that instead of attacking it with pain relievers and cold medicines, which we now know are unsafe for children. The homeopathic approach is the safest and often the quickest and most effective. So let's say you do find the right remedy, your homeopath finds the right remedy and stuff. How successful are you going to be? Well, how far you get with any particular ailment, including autism, will be the result of many factors. One is if you found the correct remedy and the correct dosing scheme. Another one is if you're able to remove obstacles to cure. Obstacles that even though you've stimulated your body to heal, you may be doing something that is keeping your body from healing. In the case of a cold, even though I may have taken this remedy that's triggering my body to heal itself, if I start running around and not resting, my body won't have a chance to heal. If, for example, your child is severely aggravated, has a food allergy, or like to gluten or dairy, if these are foods that your child's body is still very sensitive to, or if there's environmental factors that are aggravating to your child, or social situations in the home or at school that are aggravating to your child, these are things that will just eat away at the child's vital force from repairing itself. So once you've got the right remedy and the right dose, then it's important to provide an environment where the body is given the optimal chance of healing itself. Now, over time, as the body grows stronger, as the vital force gets stronger, the sensitivity to these things, like allergies to foods or sensitivity to the environment, should decrease. But when the child is still very, the vital force is still very damaged, you have to give the remedy and the body the maximum chance of healing. A third factor that will determine how successful you are is how weakened or burdened the body or the energy force is. If a child's been really poisoned, or if the energy force is really weak, let's say in the elderly person, there may be a limit to what the remedy can do. The remedy provides a stimulus. The body may start doing stuff to heal itself, but it may be so weak that it can't do so much. For example, if the child's body is so overburdened by toxins, there may be cases where some other form of chelation is necessary. Or it may be that the body is poisoned, but the vital force is still very strong, and so the remedy will enable the body to chelate itself. That is often the case with children because they do have a strong vital force, but in other cases may not be. So that's the explanation why some kids do benefit from chelation when they do homeopathy, and some kids are derailed by chelation because it's a very harsh, comparatively harsh approach, and it may not be necessary. The body can do it itself. Now, let's look at the use of supplements from this perspective. Many parents do testing. Their children are deficient in this or that, and so they provide supplements. But the question to ask is the problem that your child is deficient, or is the problem that the child's body is creating this deficiency abnormally? After all, it's not like the sailors who were out on the ships and didn't get their vitamin C, and so they got scurvy, so obviously the solution to that was to eat oranges. Hopefully your child is getting their correct nutrients, but the problem is that their body is abnormally creating deficiencies. So giving supplements is a palliative approach. It's just sort of patching it up, but it can't be a curative approach unless the tendency of the child's body to create these deficiencies is corrected. And homeopathy has the potential to heal the body sufficiently so that these tendencies to be deficient are removed. So while the body is deficient, maybe these supplements are necessary and a good idea, because so the body has what it needs to function. But as homeopathic treatment proceeds, this tendency should slowly go down so that these supplements are no longer necessary. Now, the same thing is true for food sensitivities. Our children's systems have been damaged, usually through vaccines, so that they have sort of an autoimmune response to foods, right? So that they have all these allergic type tendencies that create autistic behaviors to wheat and gluten and whatever. Now, the fundamental problem isn't that they're allergic. The fundamental problem is that they have this, that something's happened to their vital force, to their energy system, that's made them so sensitive. So our goal is to desensitize them, and that's what homeopathy can do. But while they're still sensitive, remove those foods that are aggravating to help the body heal itself. And often, as I've said before, these allergic tendencies, these sensitivities to foods, may be one of the final things to go. But it can. You know, I've mentioned my own conventional allergies. When I first started homeopathy, I had really bad spring, summer allergies, you know, to ragweed and pollen and stuff. And after my very first remedy, this was many years ago, those allergies completely left immediately. But I was still allergic to cats, and I thought I'd never get over my allergy to cats. And I'm happy to report that a couple years ago I started on a new remedy, maybe it was a year and a half ago, and much to my amazement, I am no longer allergic to cats. I can't even believe it. Anyway, so I've mentioned all of this, but one of the biggest dangers, one of the most dangerous types of things we can do with our health, I've mentioned supplements and all these things, those aren't so bad because they're not really suppressive. They're just trying to compensate for deficiencies or weaknesses of the body. But one of the most dangerous kinds of treatments we can do is to suppress symptoms. A typical example of a symptom suppression is if you have a stuffy nose, to take these antihistamines. This is what homeopaths would call antipathic approaches. And a lot of these, the drugs that are antipathic begin with the word anti. So like antihistamine, antidepressant, etc. Another example might be things for diarrhea or constipation, this and that. And what happens when you take a suppressive medicine often is that the body has, it may work for a while, but then the body will rebound and it'll have the opposite effect. So that's why it says on, let's say, a bottle of Afrin nasal spray, don't take for more than 3 days, because then you can become more congested. This gets us now back into more into homeopathic philosophy. So let's do a quick review of the homeopathic view of the body and why the body, how the body works, and why suppressive medicines are so dangerous. So, okay, the first point to remember about the body is that everything is connected. The body is a whole. All the parts are connected. Your nose and your sinuses are connected to your circulatory system and to your gut and to everything. Everything is connected. My breast was connected to my whole hormonal system. But your skin is connected to everything else. Your neurological system is connected to everything else. You are a whole being, all connected. And when you do something to one part, it may affect the rest. So that's why, for example, homeopaths believe that if you suppress eczema with cortisone, it can affect, and it often does, affect your respiratory system. And I've seen this in my own family. I talk about it in my book, the suppression of eczema childhood eczema with cortisone often leads to children's allergies, and then the suppression of allergies with over-the-counter medicines leads to asthma. So if you want to know why the kids are so asthmatic, it's from suppression. This is homeopathic philosophy. So the corollary, or the consequence of this idea that the whole body is connected, is that you must treat the whole body as well. You can't just treat little symptoms here and there. The goal of homeopathy is to find the correct remedy for the entire body that matches all of you, all parts of you, mental, emotional, physical, so that the whole body is treated by this single remedy, and that the whole body sort of corrects itself and functions properly. And indeed, as I discuss in my book, and by the way, all of this is in Chapter 4 of my book. I encourage you to reread Chapter 4. The result of this is that a really good remedy should enable your whole body to function better. Your mind, your emotions, your digestive system, your sleep, your hormonal system, everything. You'll notice a sort of whole body improvements. The second point to remember is that we are more than our body. Yes, the whole body is connected, but there's more to us than just our physical body. Homeopathy and most alternative methods of healing, such as Chinese medicine, Indian medicine, believes in the vital force, that there's an energy body that underlies your physical body. And more than that, it's in your energy body where disease begins. So when you have a problem, even if it's a cold, homeopaths believe that that yes, the germs, you may go into your body, the virus, the bacteria, but along with that comes something else, something else on the energetic plane that accompanies this. And that creates this fundamental change in your body as well that makes you more susceptible perhaps to this cold, and that weakens your body so that it falls prey to these germs or viruses. Same thing with cancer. Why does your body get cancer? And it's a susceptibility in your energy force, and that energy problem then manifests on the physical level, finally, in terms of tumors. But what is the corollary or the consequence of that? If you cut out the tumors, yes, you're getting rid of the tumors in the physical body, but unless you repair the energy body, then your body will create more tumors because you haven't really corrected the underlying problem. Same thing with autism. Many of us know that our children were damaged by things in the physical world, by vaccines and all this and that. But something else must be fundamentally happening to the energy body as well. The energy body of this child is also damaged. And so the trigger may have been the vaccines, but there's something else that has been damaged. And it's that homeopathy is addressing. And this change in the energy body will enable the physical body ultimately to repair itself as well, and to function properly as well, and to get rid of these toxins, and to start functioning properly, and to stop being so sensitive to foods and to stimuli. So this is like getting at the root. And it's not easy sometimes to find the right remedy. Sometimes it is. Sometimes you get the right remedy right away. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes the body is so damaged it can only make slow and maybe, lesser progress. But by finding the root of the problem, you can potentially have the greatest forms of healing. Okay, the third point to homeopathic philosophy is that something we all forget, including me, is that we are intrinsically self-healing. Our bodies are miracles. Our bodies and energy bodies are miracles. And they are able to heal themselves. We all don't believe it anymore. There's so many drugs out there, every commercial we see on TV says, take this and that. Oh, you got a headache, take this, do this. I mean, what? How did humanity survive before all these drugs? I mean, none of these drugs were available, you know, 50 years ago. How did humanity survive? Well, because really, I mean, the body is really an amazing thing. And unless, if we could just stop pumping it full of stuff and eat better foods and just sort of do common sense things, the body can heal itself. We've just forgotten this. So we have to trust that we can live without all these things. It's especially true for us, for the parents, you know. We have to remember that we have to take care of ourselves and we can be healed too. Okay, the fourth point, homeopathic philosophy, is what are symptoms? You know, we're so afraid of symptoms. But symptoms are very often, they're signs of the body's attempt to heal. So a typical example is if you vomit, it's your body's attempt to get rid of something that you've eaten, something that's toxic. If you have a fever, it's your body's attempt to kill the bacteria, to get rid of using heat to kill the bacteria. And inflammation of the body is the body's attempt to also isolate and attack some kind of infection or bacteria. Even on the mental plane, if you go into shock or hysterics or depression in reaction to an event, this is also your body's attempt to deal with the situation. If you were confronted with a horrific event and you didn't react, that would be a sign of mental illness. If you watch 9/11 and didn't react, well, something would be quite wrong with you. It's normal to be shocked and feel hysterical or depressed in reaction to the world's events. So if symptoms, oh, and by the way, let's look at some of the autistic symptoms. We know that a lot of the behaviors that autistic children have is the body's attempt to try to hold itself better. You know, if you're very sensitive to sound, then you may do things to protect yourself from that sound. If you're having pain in your head, you may hit your head against the wall. I mean, if looking at people is very confusing, looking people in the eye is fearful and confusing, then you won't make eye contact. So all these sensitivities or pains that our children have often lead to these behaviors. And instead of fearing them or suppressing these symptoms, we should use them as clues. So the symptoms are clues, and in homeopathy, they're the clues to finding the right remedy. So what does it mean if we suppress symptoms then? Okay, this is the next point. What does it mean if we suppress our symptoms? If we suppress vomiting, if we suppress fevers, which we all do. Our children have a little fever, we suppress it. A little fever is not dangerous. It's good for the body. The body is trying to, I mean, obviously, if your child has 105 fever, you got to do something about it. But if your child has 102, 103 fever, leave it. Leave the child at home, take care of the child, put him in bed, and let him ride it out. This is what your body's supposed to do to heal itself. If you completely suppress symptoms, then the body is trying to heal, and then it can't. And from the homeopathic point of view, this is homeopathic philosophy, the energy dysfunction that underlies what's going on is going to try to find a way to express itself in a different way, and almost always in a more harmful way. So if you're, and let's go back to the example of eczema. If you have eczema and your body is expressing some energy dysfunction on the outside of your body, on the skin, which is the most benign place for the body to do it, and you suppress it, now this energy dysfunction is going to go deeper into the body and may manifest itself as allergies, or even more deeply, if that's suppressed, as asthma, respiratory problem, very serious, now life-threatening. So you've gone from a benign skin problem to a life-threatening respiratory problem. And we see this all over the place. And what is it called? A side effect. Okay? When you see drugs, you know, advertised on TV and they go, and by the way, if you take this drug for your acne, you may have renal failure or, you know. So side effects from a homeopathic point of view are considered, not, they're not just like little side effects that might or might not happen. The people get side effects, this is because they're suppressing their symptoms. So instead of having some allergies or some acne, instead now you have kidney failure, and you're going to be on dialysis for the rest of your life. I know somebody this has happened to. I don't know what drug he was taking, but he took some drug for something, and this friend of mine is on dialysis now for the rest of his life. Or we see there's basically these pathways, and often certain symptoms often lead to other symptoms. They're pathways of susceptibility. Another typical one is the relationship between arthritis and heart disease. So often the suppression of arthritis, like remember all the stuff in the news about Vioxx, leads to heart attacks. So what's more serious, arthritis pain or heart attack? Obviously heart attack is a much more serious symptom. So there's the dangers of suppressing the pain of arthritis can lead to cardiological problems. So by suppressing things, especially skin things, are things we love to suppress because we don't want people to see our eczema. We have to think twice. And often, if we have them, these are the symptoms that may come back under homeopathic treatment, which leads me now to the final point. What does cure look like? If we can't suppress things, how can we? What can we do? Well, we can use the homeopathic approach. And the thing that Hahnemann, the founder of homeopathy, saw when he started treating things homeopathically was that instead of suppressing the symptoms and then leading to more dangerous symptoms, suddenly the symptoms would go away and earlier symptoms, less dangerous symptoms, would return. And this is called Herring's Law of Cure, named after Herring, who is a famous American homeopath. Actually, he started off in Europe and he came to America in the early 1800s and really started up the homeopathic world in this country. And this law of cure says this is how real cure happens, which is that if you're given the correct remedy, you'll start to heal from the deepest level to the most superficial level. So the body will use this energy of the remedy, and when repairing itself, it will address naturally the most serious life-threatening symptoms first. So if the person has asthma, it's most likely that the remedy will address this asthma before it addresses, let's say, eczema. So the asthma might be alleviated, then the person might have allergies again that might return, a return of old symptoms. More treatment would then maybe lead to the appearance of eczema, the original problem. So signs of true cure are healing at the deepest level first and then eventually the more superficial levels. Healing often from the head out to the extremities because the most important parts of your body is from the point of view of survival is your head and your torso. The least important is your extremities. And also the reversal of symptoms. And that's why homeopathic, if you come in and say, well, this thing is feeling better, but suddenly I have this problem I had 3 years ago return, that's a great sign because that means the remedy is working correctly. So, in autism cure, so what are the deepest symptoms that you might see healing first? Well, it really is different for each child because each child is affected in a different way. But for my own son, the first thing that we saw was was improvement in communication. So suddenly he was somehow beginning to communicate better and understand and connect to us better. Sort of a social awareness, and then eventually use of speech in a more fluid manner. So the signs that we saw of cure were really at that level. He didn't have really severe gut problems and everything. So from a homeopathic point of view, by the way, the neurological level, the mental level, the cognitive level is deeper than, let's say, the physical level. So that would be, that's a very desirable thing to address that first. And what about things coming out on the skin level? I've talked about this too, is that many years later, after he was much better, one summer I kept seeing this rash on his chest that looked like measles. It was like the vaccine, which I believe he was MMR injured, was coming out. The measles were coming out on his chest. He didn't really have measles, but this rash, it was just kind of coming out finally, and then it disappeared. So that's all I have to say for today. Just reminding you all to, when you're dealing with homeopathic treatment, to remember as best as you can, and Lord knows none of us is perfect, to try to be patient and remember this more holistic view of health and cure, and not to run and try to suppress things or get too anxious. Try to be a little more patient. Try to be more natural with what you do with your body. And to talk to your homeopath about it. There are times when we must resort to allopathy. There are certain things that are very difficult to treat and are life-threatening we have to deal with. One of those things, I think, is high blood pressure. If homeopathic treatment isn't helping your high blood pressure, please take high blood pressure meds, because that's life-threatening. You can't mess with it. Maybe over time, the high blood pressure problems will go away with homeopathic treatment. So that's an example. But just to be aware of this type of approach to disease can really help your health, help the health of you and your family and your children. So that's about it. Again, a reminder once again to check out impossiblecure.com, also nationalcenterforhomeopathy.org, and the new Yahoo group, homeopathy-and-SN. So homeopathy and SN, special needs. So be well. Happy New Year again. And remember, there really is hope with homeopathy.